Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 9th, 2021. The four languages of Kabbalah. There are four languages in Kabbalah that can be used to describe the effect of the light on us, and our reaction to it. The language of the Talmud is a judicial, legal language. The language of the Tanakh, Torah, Prophets, Holy Scriptures, is a narrative, literary language, the language of the novel. The language of Haggadah, Legends, is a very capacious, interesting language, but at the same time it is very incomprehensible. The language of Kabbalah is a clear, purely mathematical language of the Sefirot and Patsufim, in which the forces are linked with each other and affect each other. It is accompanied by graphs, drawings, etc. In accordance with this, there are four types of souls, each of which is close to one or another language. Naturally, all souls understand them based on their spiritual root. But, in the end, as they develop, they see that all languages are included in each other. And when the souls reach their common development, then all languages are combined into one. Each person develops in his own style. For example, especially at the beginning of my journey, I was closest to the language of Kabbalah, a clear physical and mathematical language with drawings, gradations, and definitions. Scientific language was the most reliable for me. And then comes the language of feelings, a narrative language, like in the Tanakh, Torah, Prophets, and Holy Scriptures. It is a literary language on which you overlay your impressions. Then the judicial legal language joins it, when you are already talking about the fact that there is a measure of mercy and judgment that governs a person like terrains. And then comes the language of legends, the most difficult, confusing, and allegorical, with hints. But on the other hand, in these legends, each word expresses some kind of tremendous impression. And when you become involved in it, that is, you reach the spiritual level of the author, you simply become involved in the fairy tale. This is reality, but it is so capacious, rich, and impressive, just a fairy tale. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 14. Precious Flower. The place for the revelation of the Creator in our time, in our generation called the last generation, appears only in mutual guarantee, avut. Mutual guarantee is our spiritual vessel. The revelation of the Creator, the entry into the upper world, our entire spiritual existence is implemented only within mutual guarantee. There is a special force in mutual guarantee. By coming out of myself and being included in the friends, I reveal my soul. It does not exist inside me, and therefore, the upper light cannot enter and correct me. It can only help me integrate with the friends and find the Creator there. That is, my soul is in the friends. In fact, this is obvious if you look at the spiritual structure. If I am Malkut in the spiritual vessel of the 10 Sephirot, then my friends are the 9 upper Sephirot. It turns out that when I incorporate with them, I receive the qualities of bestowal from them. It is in this form that I complete my spiritual vessel that was in the friends, and through mutual guarantee each of us helps the other to acquire the qualities of bestowal and be ready for the revelation of the Creator. Therefore, without implementing mutual guarantee, we will not be able to take a single step on the spiritual path. Only by incorporating with each other, getting closer to each other, connecting and helping each other, do we attract the reforming light and invite the Creator to be revealed in us. This desire alone, to internally connect with each other, is sufficient to raise us, from corporality to spirituality. It is impossible to draw the reforming light alone, I have nowhere to draw it into. I must be incorporated in my friends and then I can draw the light inside this incorporation so that the reforming light would return it to its source. In this way, we receive the spiritual vessel and begin to enter the upper world. The mutual guarantee is a very deep concept. All spiritual laws proceed from carrying out mutual guarantee. Everything written and said by the Kabbalists comes from what they have attained within mutual guarantee. All of reality is divided in two. Outside of the mutual guarantee is corporeality and inside the mutual guarantee is spirituality. In fact, mutual guarantee is the only thing we need because it is the only action that brings the broken vessel of Adam HaRishon back to correction. Through our yearning to return this desire to connection and unity above egoism and all the disturbances, and through the request to the Creator to help us, in this, we reach correction. We must make sure that the friends reveal the true spiritual deficiency and that the Ten connects in both good and bad states. Everyone should feel that they have friends who are ready to do anything for them. The mutual guarantee is like a flower that needs our constant care in order to grow. After all, this is the very vessel in which the Creator will be revealed. Our desires that have reached the correct connection grew and are now revealed because of our common screen. The inner force that holds our desires together and directs them correctly is called mutual guarantee. From the World Kabbalah Convention from 10 to 1 June 4, 2021. Avot Inside the Ten, Lesson 2. See the world changing. Question: You said that everything is inside me and to change something in the outside world, I need to change something within myself. What does it mean to change within myself? Should I change myself or my attitude toward others? After all, I am not alone here. Answer: Yet, the desires are yours and you can change them either in relation to yourself or in relation to the inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature and people, and all of them in relation to the Creator. That is, you choose what kind of desire you want to use and to what you want to relate. If you want to use all your desires with the correct intention, with a good attitude to everyone, starting with the inanimate world, with ecology, with what we today call inanimate, vegetative, and animate, and then even more so, to people, then you are changing the world. According to your desires, you begin to pay attention to general nature. You feel in it its great force, the Creator, and ask Him to begin to change His attitude to the world at your request, at your will. In this way, you can observe how the world really changes. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, May 21, 2021. Elon Musk's brain chip. In the news, Reuters, billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk's brain chip startup released footage on Friday appearing to show a monkey playing a simple video game after getting implants of the new technology. The 3-minute video by Neuralink shows Pager, a male macaque with chips embedded on each side of its brain, playing Mind Pong. Although he was trained to move a joystick, it is now unplugged. He controls the paddle simply by thinking about moving his hand up or down. First, a Neuralink product will enable someone with paralysis to use a smartphone with their mind faster than someone using thumbs, Musk tweeted on Thursday. Later versions will be able to shunt signals from Neuralink's in-brain to Neuralink's in-body motor, sensory neuron clusters, thus enabling, for example, paraplegics to walk again. The device is implanted flush with skull and charges wirelessly, so you look and feel totally normal. People have already learned to perform all kinds of organ transplants. And now, suddenly, we are getting into the thought. Maybe after all, it will be possible to somehow infiltrate, get closer to the eye of a person in order to stop wars and hatred? My response: No. That is not going to happen. Comment: Well, look at how much suffering there is in the world. My response: That is how it should be. Suffering corrects. Question: So, it will not be possible to go beyond such physical changes? Answer: No. Only if the person decides that he should correct himself. Question: Where does this decision come from? Can it be somehow implanted in a person? Answer: From basic common sense, when one looks at himself and says, I am made of a desire that is purely a desire to enjoy, and I have to decide whether I can realize it or whether I need some kind of counteraction to it. Question: but why? Answer: he is one person. But there is another person and a third and a fourth, and so on, who do not want things the way this first one does. Question: so in order to enjoy something, he must subjugate them? Answer: of course. Question: and they do not want to be subjugated. How can he enjoy then? Answer: he cannot. It means he has to destroy them. Question: you outlined this sequence just now. Then the person comes to realize that others do not want to go along with what he wants, so now he needs to use weapons, machine guns, right? Answer: whatever he has at his disposal. Comment: exactly. Just what people are hoarding more and more nowadays. My response: yes. Question: at what point will he hit a dead end and say, I cannot go on like this? Answer: when suffering teaches him that the suffering is greater than the pleasure. Question: at what point does this happen? Answer: let's say his children come to him and say, we want you to do things differently, otherwise we want nothing to do with you. This poses a problem. We need to transition this to another plane where he realizes that he cannot continue to live in his intentions, actions, in enjoying only for his own sake, but he is really losing in this. Question: so, you are saying that it is when those who are closest to him, his children, will tell him, this makes us feel very bad, right? Answer: when he will feel that he is really losing, and more than from any egoistic gain. Question: that is, he gains something egoistically, and at that very moment he loses much more than he gains, right? His children, loved ones, relatives, and so on. Everyone turns away from him. Answer: yes. Question: this is a good example. But how can a person feel in this way? He hurts mostly strangers. Answer: if his children tell him, if you hurt someone, then know that in this measure we will reject you, turn away from you. You will be left all alone, and no one will want anything to do with you. Comment: so at some point, a person who lives egoistically suddenly realizes that every egoistic action he makes yields an even greater loss. Something very close and dear to him will be lost to him more and more and more. Life passes by. My response: yes. We need to get to something that is very dear to him in life. Comment: that every drop of his egoistic pleasure for himself kills someone very dear to him. My response: yes. Question: what conclusion can we draw from this? Answer: the conclusion is very simple. We need to educate the younger generation, and they will force their fathers and parents to change. There is no other way. Comment: so, these young people, children and grandchildren, will come to their parents and say, the way you live, you are killing us. We will not be there for you. My response: yes. If you want to create a world for us to live in, then we feel that you are destroying this world. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leightman, April 22, 2021. Michael Leightman, on Quora: is there any connection between Kabbalah and astrology? The wisdom of Kabbalah has been connected to several teachings over the course of history, but authentic Kabbalah has no connection to other teachings. There is no astrology in Kabbalah, no divination by stars, nor any connection between Kabbalah and red strings, holy water, tarot, mysticism or Kabbalistic meditations, even though if you look up such connections, you will find a lot written about them. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a method for attaining no more and no less than the purpose of life while we are alive in this world, attainment of the Creator, the higher force in reality. We develop ourselves through this method in order to attain spiritual qualities and a spiritual perception that has no connection to this world's qualities. As such, Kabbalah has no connection to stars or anything else around the person, but only to that which is inside the person. Based on Fundamentals of Kabbalah with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on March 3, 2019. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. New Life 1308. Concession, the means for better communication in a couple.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman.
Hello to you.
Hello, hello, Nitzam. And today we would like to talk to Dr. Leitman about the uniqueness of the connection, communication between men and women. We all have relationships, and the relationship that we have with our spouse, with our partner, is very different than anything else. And today we'd like to learn a few new things that can improve our relationships. Be with us, Nitza, please. Right. The relationship or the communication between a man and a woman in a relationship is something that's really talked about. Any couple that meets from the very first moment, one of the things that they really aspire for is to have good communication between them. That's warm, that's good, so they can understand each other, they can talk to each other, that they can establish a real connection that will help them come closer to one another. And we already talked about this on previous shows, and therefore we already know that naturally men have a certain form of communication, and women have a different form of communication. Sometimes they're even complete opposites. Like you once said, each of them as if comes from a different planet, and when they meet for the very first time, they have to build a kind of communication where their starting point is very different, because each of them comes with his worldview, his perception of reality, etc., etc. And today we'd like to focus on specifically on this kind of relationship and what's unique about it. Because as human beings, our way to communicate with the world is through relationships. So what's unique about the connection or relationship between spouses?
We are very different. Our psychology is completely different.
And
the fact that we both belong to the human race is not enough. One is a man and the other is a woman. And that differentiates us from completely different sides of the spectrum. You as a psychologist know it better than me. Our psychology is very, very different. Between men and women, and what else can we say? We aren't even aware of it. We develop it from year to year. The researchers and the thousands of people that deal with it on the face of the planet, not enough. We still haven't reached a clear understanding and satisfying, definitely not. And we bump against it on a daily basis and see more and more failures in this regard, and not enough successes in this connection between men and women. Men and women and parents and children and in general. In this mutual connection, internal, in the human society, we're very, very behind.
It's true, but there's a big difference in terms of the expectations that we come with when we want to build a relationship with a spouse. It's true that we communicate with our entire environment, whether it's at work, in the universe, wherever. But the thing is, what are we connecting for? When we want to build a relationship, our expectations are completely different. Our desires to build a kind of connection that will be stable for years, that there will be true understanding between the spouses. We come with a dream of building a common family, to have children. There is a certain dream that we also want to see each other. We want to see ourselves living with our spouse for life, not something, so it won't be something temporary. So the expectations that we come to this connection with are completely different.
It is bound for failure.
Exactly.
Because we don't learn. How we build this connection properly, according to the laws of nature, the laws of psychology, of male and female, that we know all of these things and practically go through it, like in a university, in every profession. Here, nobody teaches us.
It's true. And by the way, that's how it is to this day. We're in 2021 and still there's this perception that communication is something that happens or doesn't happen. And even if it's good at first, doesn't mean that this is how it's going to remain. And there is the tendency to think that it's something instinctive that you don't have to work on, and that communication isn't something that develops, that you have to constantly learn and see how to build this communication more and more. So were I to ask you to define, to give some kind of leading principle that can guide us in everything that has to do with a relationship between spouses, what is that?
That principle is very simple and can be defined in one simple sentence, one short sentence. Success in communication is fully dependent in the success of giving.
Okay, so when you say that, when you say to concede, I'm sure that under the word concession,
yes. There's
an entire world hiding, right? So why am I saying this? Because conceding in its simplistic form doesn't really mean a lot to us, and therefore I'd like to take this entire world that stands behind the word concession and try to break it down into pieces so we can really try and understand, how do we learn how to concede?
It's called that I am with all of my efforts, all my strength, with everything that I know and understand and I'm capable of, I come in order to serve my partner, the other. My partner.
So even before we get to the communication,
this is the communication, that I don't look at her and what I receive from her. I just go to cancel myself in order to serve her. And I expect something. That I will receive not the same response. Understanding towards what I'm doing.
So this is very special, meaning that I come with a desire, the way you described it, it's like complete devotion, completely being devoted to this connection, and what do I expect? Just for the other, for the partner to understand me, and the other way around too.
I don't place any barriers.
So you come to this relationship without any preconditions.
Just to have the ability to bestow, to give, to concede on myself.
So in this definition, there's already the complete opposite of what we're used to thinking.
So we see that in our time, people don't want to live together, people divorce. All of this form that was based on the necessities of raising children and existing, now it's all breaking apart.
Usually, when we reach some kind of connection, we come like with a shopping list. That, and it's natural that everyone thinks that I have to put together some shopping list and see that my list more or less matches her or his list, and that we can find some kind of point of connection, maybe similar values, maybe something. And you have given us a completely different opening point.
I think a list can be a foundation for communication, because in that list, everybody brings what he demands from the other. I have a list, and she has a list, and then what? How can it be that in that we connect? That in my list I demand this and this and this and that, and on her demand list she demands this and that. So it's better to just stay apart.
But what's on your list?
I'm saying that on my list I only have one thing. The willingness to give everything up for the sake of the good relationship between us.
The willingness to concede everything for the sake of our good connection. Suppose this is the approach that I come with. And this is what it says in my list. The willingness to concede everything in favor of connection. Won't she try to use me and I'll be a sucker?
Oh, now you're saying like that wasn't on your list. You were only looking for a way to cancel yourself, to give up on everything. That's it. Don't add.
So I concede everything. Okay. I want to reach a connection with another person, right?
And with this other person, you see that they have all sorts of demands and conditions. So you're happy. You're happy that you can annul yourself.
My approach toward the other side, this I completely understand. Now let's take a step forward. Suppose I come with such an approach where I'm willing to concede everything in favor of this connection. Now, Nitsa, for example. It's possible that she will now use the opportunity in order to try and use me, and I'll be a sucker then.
But this is why you're getting married.
What, in order to be used?
Yes, of course.
Me?
What does it mean that you love her?
How do you define love?
That everything that she wants, you're willing to give to her. Right, Nitsa?
Exactly. Look, suppose she's an angel. No problem. Angel meaning that I can trust her 100%, then no problem.
No, you're putting preconditions. In annulment, you don't have preconditions. This is my pleasure.
Okay.
I want to advance. This is the opening point, and it's very opposite to what we're familiar with. How does this connection, how is it built, created, how does it start developing from the point where I come with this one precondition that I'm willing to concede everything in order to build a good connection between us?
For this, we have to open courses, almost like a university. For young people. And teach them from the beginning of their life, from the ages 4 or 5, 6, and on throughout all the years until they're ready to get married. and their view on life will be through this point that I take her or I take him when I want to cancel myself, to concede everything for his benefit, for her benefit.
Ken.
And this is what love is.
Now that you talked about it, I'd be really happy for my spouse to be that way, that she graduated from the university for concession. Okay, she expects the same, I understand. And this is where the mess begins, because if my partner will also be the same way, that they're willing to concede, I'm sure that our communication will be excellent, because we'll both come with the same understanding and heart.
What means for mutual bestowal?
Right. So that's the optimum connection, that both graduate from the University of Correct Relationships, and they come and they perfectly connect. But the problem is that whenever, well, maybe with myself, I can go through inner processes, prepare myself for that kind of connection, but I'm not in control of what goes on in Nitsa's head, and that's why I'm afraid to be a sucker.
Which is why you need to be prepared for such life. I'm not saying that you're ready for this. It's after years of preparation, where we understand what it means to work above the ego, and that connection can only be above the ego, and then each completes the other, and everyone enjoys that he can cancel the other, and then each himself, and then we connect.
Okay, suppose both partners graduated from this university we talked about, and they want to build a relationship. I want to look at the development of the connection, because even the start, if the starting point was like you have described, that it was a good starting point where each of them wants to give to the other, what happens to the connection? How does it evolve and develop?
I think that they reach mutual feeling internally, that each sees the other, that the other is fit to be his partner, his spouse. And they will see how each of them have the right preparation, exercises that they will do in such groups. And when they do such exercises in groups and so on, the groups will recommend for them specifically to get married, but with the proper judgment. And such a society, so to speak, composed of such young men and women, they see themselves that they are the foundation of society, of the next generation, and they want to see such couples and such couples and so on. And out of their experience during the study, in the connection between them, they already begin to suggest and discuss in workshops who fits who and why and how. There are lots of exercises, very interesting and emotional, that they correct very well these egos and bring them to a state that they understand it through concessions, through the mutual concessions that they do, they acquire special attributes, spiritual attributes.
What kind of qualities?
Attributes of concession, of being above oneself, above reason.
And what does it give a person if he learns how to be above himself?
It lets him think, feel the other side of nature, that there is nature that we feel within our desire to receive, and then there is nature There is nature that we feel in our desire to bestow, and that is a concealed nature. And that we can reveal and feel and understand such connections between all the parts of creation that the normal person in our world has no idea of it.
Can you give us some kind of exercise from the university that teaches young people how to build a relationship? Give us an exercise that can bring us closer to a better relationship, some practical exercise that will prepare us.
Preparation for connection in a relationship is when we meet in a large group, let's say 10 men and 10 women. And let's say we do between us an exercise how we make of ourselves a corrected society, that nobody exists within their ego. Rather, each expresses himself to serve the other, the society. So I am in front of 9 men and 9 women. And so every one of those present. And in this way, we create the connection between us. We can reach by that a very special group through which we can begin to feel a new attitude towards reality above our ego.
I see that you have tied the relationship itself into some kind of social connection. So it's not only they commit to each other, the partners, but they also have some kind of commitment toward the environment, their society.
Of course, because otherwise why are we doing this? Just for them to live in harmony, in mutual harmony in themselves, but then when they come out anywhere in life, then they have great conflict with others. We want to build also the external wrap correctly.
Well, if they'll come to that, then this covenant isn't only toward each other, but they're also obligated to society.
Necessarily.
Will this protect them or what? In the future,
the framework guards them.
Okay, I have questions from our viewers that are watching us online. And they're saying that to conceive means to remain in a relationship that's not healthy for you. I conceded to my partner all life long, and now we're about to get divorced because
no,
I was
here dying. We're talking about, and this is why we need this wrap, this external society that will hold us and we'll be able to act towards it correctly.
Is there something that we do not concede?
No. I, in essence, need to concede everything.
Are we talking about physical actions of concessions, or is it an inner concession to make room in my heart for the other person?
True. Both this and that.
The inner concession, what does it include?
It includes a very simple thing, that I am always at the ready to serve the other. And he is always at the ready to serve me. And this is how we live. Each is living with a desire of the other.
What does it mean to live in the desire? How do I find the desire of the other person and live in that?
that it's cold in order to bestow.
What's the action?
That you always feel what you can do for her and trust.
So instead of living inside my own desire, it's to dwell in the desire of the other person.
Yeah, this is what it means to serve, that with my strength, serve your desire.
What will help a couple to build the trust that will be the basis for a concession?
From experience that each shows the other how much he is willing to do this.
Okay, seemingly, if this is the approach that I come with and that my partner comes with the same approach, seemingly I can suit anyone or fit any spouse or partner.
Rather, who needs to be in front of you? What kind of man? Only a man who understands you. How much you're ready for concessions, and he also needs to be ready for concessions.
So that's the only criteria?
Nothing other than that. Everything else is not important. Not important.
Okay, about the concession itself, what is the first step that we have to take when we feel that it's hard to concede?
I want to show my partner, my spouse, how much I am ready to do something for her.
And if it's hard for you,
then that also I want to show her.
What do I teach her?
I show her how, despite my egoistic
desire. Where do you take the strength to start doing it from?
To be a man in her eyes.
What, to be a man with you don't have the strength to concede. Having a hard time.
This is why I'm a man. A man from the meaning of overcoming. That I overcome my ego or my lack of strength and lack of desire. That's what I do. And I take pride in this and I show her how much I do this for you.
Beautiful, but
it's a game that then becomes reality, becomes habit, and we need to teach it, and nobody is teaching it, and that's why the whole of humanity is bound to break apart.
Unfortunately, our times, what should we take with us and we'll practice until our next meeting in order to improve the relationship between a man and a woman?
Teacher would say very simply, a family, a relationship, peace, all stand on concessions. Love and not attraction and not nothing. Only concessions. And out of concessions, you reach everything.
Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. And good luck to all of us. Thank you very much and all the best.
The inner map of the soul. Question. The land of Israel corresponds to a desire on the inanimate level and there is also a desire on the human level. Should one clearly overlap with the other? Answer. Ideally, yes. And so it will be in the future. Intention overlaps desire, forms it, and the desire thus becomes equivalent to a certain part of the earth. This generates a need in a person to change his place of residence or some other change. Question. When a person is engaged in spiritual development, does he discover this map of Israel with all the places within himself? Is this how it happens? Answer. It depends on the type of soul and it is not felt by every person. But in general, people will feel where they belong in the universe, where their spiritual root is. Question: in our world, there are people who have knowledge more or less, and there are people who know nothing at all. Is it the same in spirituality? Answer: yes. The time will come when we will begin to feel it and find that we must act according to spiritual characteristics. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, May 21, 2021. When the I is replaced by we. Comment: the books of Kabbalah are written very cleverly. Many times they use the concept I and the Creator. My response: the concept I and the Creator refers to the influence a person has on his connection with other people and through them to the Creator. This is a collective I. By nature, a person is an absolute egoist. Egoism is an absolutely negative force. If a person influences the Creator individually, it will only be due to egoism. But if a person begins to influence the Creator not from the I but from the we, this is already a positive force. In this situation, we will certainly get positive characteristics and actions from him. Question: who are we according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, if the whole world and all people are fragments of the feelings within my I? Answer: if a person will unite all of these fragments within himself, this will be we. Question: in my understanding, when the I turns to the Creator, this is the monologue of an imprisoned prisoner. But when we turn to the Creator, this is already a dialogue of the soul with the Creator. Under what conditions does the I become we? Answer: it is on condition that you nullify yourself before others. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 17, 2019. What should we be? Question: Baal HaSulam writes in the newspaper The Nation, published in 1940, that we, people, are always in a state of development just like the planet Earth, which went through the constant struggle between two forces, positive and negative. What should we come to? To what perfection? As far as I understand, the inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature is already in perfection, and the human has not yet reached it. Answer: yes, the inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature by itself is perfect. However, due to the fact that the human is not perfect, he affects it and radiates his bad properties. Therefore, all nature suffers. That is why he must come to a state when he needs to become man. Men is Adam in Hebrew. Adam, from the word similar, Edom Ella Ellen, similar to the Creator. This is what we should be, that is, be in bestowal and love between us. Then, naturally, having become different, we will feel the world in which we live as a different world. From CAB TV's Spiritual States.